Summer's a romantic time for foodies, but if your food is work, that can be a killer. I mean, keeping a healthy relationship with food is more than just a question of mere dieting for a restaurant critic. It can be a matter of life and death. So after years of going undercover as the New York Times restaurant critic, Frank Bruni has written a new book about his own troubled relationship with food. Let's just say commitment wasn't the problem in his relationship. The book is called Born Round, The Secret History of a Full-Time Eater, and we're joined by Frank Bruni here to discuss how he fought his battle with food. Frank, thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, thank you for having
me. I mean, who would have thought Frank Bruni does a diet book? But it's a deep memoir of your relationship with food.
It's a very different kind of diet book. It's really a life narrative, but organized around the principle of eating and food. And my main challenge over the whole course of my life, I realized, was to control my appetite and to find a healthy way to eat. And when I was offered the job of restaurant critic a little over 5 years ago, one of the main questions I had to ask myself and one of the main questions people who knew me well asked me was, are you in a healthy enough place with your food consumption to do this?
But, I mean, anyone looking at the title of this book and knowing your name would assume, oh, gosh, a restaurant critic who's having problems with his weight. Duh, that's an easy one. But in fact, becoming the restaurant critic was your saving grace.
It was part of the answer.
That's amazing.
Yeah. No, my particular kind of overeating, which I think is pretty classic, was a very binge-purge psychology. And I would allow myself or get drawn into these epic binges because I'd say next week or next month I'm going to be super, super virtuous. And that, of course, was a lie, and I'd break that promise. Being in a job where you have to eat a certain amount and a big amount every day meant the only weight maintenance and weight loss mechanisms available to me were portion control and exercise, and those are the best remedies of all.
Are you a cooking foodie or just an eating foodie, restaurant foodie?
I've never been a great cook, but it's been irrelevant over the last 5.5 years because I eat out almost every single night.
I can't say that I feel sorry for you, but it does sound grueling.
So on the front cover of the book, there's this really adorable little boy with cute, chubby cheeks, but you describe some really early, disgusting eating habits that you had. For instance, when you were a baby, you had a huge, huge appetite.
Yes.
And when your mom wouldn't give you stuff, what did you do?
When my mom didn't give me stuff, after a certain point, I would cry so hard I would throw up. And it was obviously...
What age was this?
Well, it started when I was 18 months old, and apparently it went on for about a year. And I joke in the book that I was a baby bulimic. Obviously, I don't think you can be bulimic. But the point was my obsession with food was that intense from a very young age. And it was an obsession that was all about volume and shoveling things in my mouth.
What do you think that comes from?
You know, I think it's mostly probably genes because it was there so early. But in my case, and this is the story I tell in the book, that predisposition played itself out rather disastrously in a large, sprawling Italian-American family where food was everything.
Wow.
Food was love. Food was generosity. Food was wealth. And there was always food at the Bruni house.
Take us to a New Year's Eve at the Bruni house because that was a big splurge so people can understand how much food your family used to eat.
Well, we hosted Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was our big holiday, and there would be, during the first 90 minutes everybody got there, at least a dozen appetizers being passed around, canapes, what have you. When you got to the table, there had to be, usually two kinds of meat plus a pasta dish. So we're talking three kinds of entrees, innumerable side dishes. And what was most remarkable is the host philosophy was you had to make enough of every one thing that if every guest ate only that thing, it would never run out.
Wow. So I guess you needed a few refrigerators or freezers to deal with the leftovers.
We always had at least one enormous freezer in the garage. And I remember, the meat truck pulling up like every couple months with the meat supply. And we were a meaty family.
So, they say that we are genetically predisposed, you alluded to this a moment ago, to associate food and our relationship with food with the idea of a presumption of scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
That basically we assume scarcity, but that means we binge when there's a lot of food around. In an Italian-American family and going on to be Rome correspondent for the New York Times, that seems to be a prescription for real disaster there.
Rome actually turned out to be a good thing because my Italian-American family was Southern peasant immigrants. So for them, food, a lot of food as a kind of reassurance that you were wealthy and okay in the world was vital. When I went to Rome, I was moving around a different contemporary Italy, and actually what I learned there, or was reminded of there, was how much more important quality is than quantity. You know, we all puzzle all the time over, you know, why don't French women get fat? Why are Western Europeans slimmer? They're slimmer because they don't have the big gulp. They don't have the all-you-can-eat buffet. They do not eat the portions and the volume that Americans do.
Where did you learn this kind of discipline? I mean, we could almost call your book Resize Me or Downsize Me instead of Supersize Me.
I hit rock bottom when I was 36, 37. I weighed in at about 270 pounds, and I was wearing size...
You? Little you?
And I was wearing size 42 pants. And that was kind of my worst fear come true. It was at the tail end at that point of a life of yo-yoing.
I'm guessing you're in 34.
Yeah, exactly. Wait. Yeah. When I thought
and this isn't a diet book, dude?
No, I do think it's funny. I mean, it's an odd kind of diet book. I mean, it's narrative. It's a story.
Yeah. No, but I understand. I don't want to keep doing it. But how much do you weigh now, just so we
I don't know. You know, I don't know. One of the things one of my kind of psychological self-maintenance mechanisms is I don't get on scales. If my clothes fit the way I want them to fit, I walk on because I don't want to get as obsessed about weight as I used to be.
Frank, you're the outgoing food critic of the New York Times. So we're going to squeeze one more food piece of information out of you, which is if you could only eat one dish in your life, one dish left, what would you recommend that we all tried?
That's too hard because we live in a city with so many wonders, you know.
Right.
I mean, I just had a pasta dish at the new restaurant Marea with octopus and bone marrow, and it sounds crazy, and it was wonderful. The steaks at Minetta Tavern, the best steaks, if you're a steak person and I am, I mean, those are fantastic. So you can't ask someone who has been eating as much great food as I have what one dish he'd go out on.
All right, so if people who love to eat and who like to cook and who like to eat well and go out to restaurants, what's the secret from Frank Bruni to maintaining that discipline to keep you as healthy as you look right now?
Get the things on the menu that you want, but don't eat them to the end of them if you're beginning to get full. So don't make yourself feel deprived, but don't be a pig.
Your grandmother was really special. Would she have loved the book?
I think she would have been so proud. I mean, this book pays very, very loving tribute to my mother and my grandmother, and one of the reasons it was so rewarding to write was because it gave me the opportunity to do that.
You can just imagine the Bruni table there, you know?
It was heaving.
Eat, Frankie. Well, it's a great twist on our notion of a diet memoir, a book about one's relationship with food. Thanks to Frank Bruni for joining us, the outgoing restaurant critic for the New York Times, author of the new memoir, Born Round, The Secret History of a Full-Time Eater.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.